So if you are in today's room of the 24th, is that too loud? He said, picture it like it's a doctor's office. But it was a really nice doctor's office. It wasn't like really crazy busy. It had big leather chairs, and it was just very comfortable. And he said, you don't see people who had an appointment yesterday sitting here, do you? I'm like, no, if you have an appointment yesterday, you were there yesterday. And he said, do you see people sitting here who have an appointment tomorrow? I go, no. He said, the only place you should be is in today's room. You can't do anything about yesterday. Don't live in tomorrow. It was just such a good example for me. Now, he might say, because you might go, yeah, but I got stuff to prepare for the weekend that I have to get done. Well, that's fine. If that's when you're supposed to do it, he'll have you do it in today's room. You know, in today's room, here's what I want you to do. I want you to work on that stuff for the weekend. But I don't want you to live in on the 30th. You know, don't run down there and live in that room. Stay in today's room. And it was like, it was so easy for me to remember. Then he showed me another picture of people like leaving the doctor's office, and they had like bags of medicine or something. And I'm like, I want that. Yeah, I want that. And he's like, no, you don't want that. That was for them. You want what I'm going to give to you. Then he shows me another picture. I was up at the receptionist window, and I'm like, I need to get in. It's my turn. It's my turn. You know? Jesus is sitting in a chair there, and he's like going, come back. Sit down. We'll go when it's our turn. Just sit down. Be patient. Because I'm kind of getting to the next day already, you know. So he speaks to me in ways that make sense to me. You know, now maybe some of those examples you'd be like, well, I don't know, that doesn't even do anything for me. But he'll find ways to speak to you that make sense to me. So now I know that I can look at a calendar and go, I'm supposed to be living today. You know, just live today. That's all I have to do is live today and live it to the fullest. And that gets back to that whole carefree living and living without stress. And, you know, if you find you have stress, then we need to run to Jesus again and get into the rest and go, okay, why am I getting all stressed out or worried? Another thing I was going to, did anybody here by any chance see that movie Avatar that came out a few years ago? Anybody see that one? Okay, I'm not going to talk about that then. Okay, so now, there's another concept that's really important to know about. In our world that we live in right now, our natural lives, we tend to put our body is on top, our soul is next, and our spirit is at the bottom. And your soul is made of your mind, your will, and your emotions. But, you know, all the advertisements, everything's aimed at obey your thirst. If it feels good, do it. You know, all this kind of stuff, because we tend to take care of our body first. I mean, we don't like it when our body is uncomfortable, or we don't, you know, we want to make sure that everything is done to take care of our body. You know, and then our mind, will, and emotions kind of fall in there. And then our spirit ends up coming last. But in the Bible, they talk about your spirit, soul, and body. So whenever you find something in the Bible, in whatever order it's listed, there is great importance. Okay, so if it says spirit, soul, and body, it means spirit should be up here, then your soul, and then your body is at the bottom, because our spirit needs to be in control. Because our spirit knows what's best. I mean, you know how it is. The flesh fights with the spirit all the time. It's like, who wants to fast, really? I mean, come on. But fasting is really so good, but that's because you put your spirit in control. You make your flesh behave. You know, you say, no, I'm not going to feed you. I'm fasting for the Lord right now. And so then your spirit can connect with God's spirit, and that you really start getting downloads, and then it's easier to come into the rest. But when we pay attention to our body or our mind or our emotions or whatever, then our spirit ends up getting really small and pushed down into the very bottom of us, you know, and it doesn't have any strength at all. It's very puny, you know. It's like, I don't have any strength. So we need to learn how to let our spirit be on the top and be in charge and be in, you know, plugged in to the Holy Spirit and to God's Spirit and to know all this, because when we let our body be in charge or our mind, will, or emotions, then it's just very, very difficult to connect with God and to stay connected and to stay focused and to stay where you should be and to stay in the rest. You see what I mean? And then just back on that part about the order that things are in the Bible, I mean, you can pay attention if things are said, like if it says holy in the Bible, okay, we kind of have an understanding of what holy means, but if it says holy, holy, that means it's super, super important, because the Hebrew language isn't like our language. I mean, the Hebrew language was very much with content and intent, where we kind of throw words around pretty liberally. But if it said holy, holy, it's super, super important. If it's holy, 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 it's really, really important. And if names are in the Bible, so like in the book of Acts, when they're talking about Barnabas and Paul were going out and doing these things, and it was Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And then at some point, all of a sudden the next verse, it says Paul and Barnabas. And it had to do with who was the most influential one or the most important one at that time. So at some point it became that Paul became the more important one. And we would just read it in English. I mean, we just read things like, whatever, Paul and Barnabas, Susie and Bill, whoever, you know, just put them all down there on that piece of paper, you know. But it was very important. So when you're reading, and I only just throw this out because I just find it fascinating, it's pay attention to the order in which things are given or to how many times it's said or whatever, because it has great importance. So anyway, so we want our spirit to be on the top, connecting with the Lord, and to be in charge, because our flesh is always going to complain. You know, somehow we get pretty good at being, you know, we raise up a lot of athletes and everything else, and they get pretty good at submitting their body. But even if you are good at submitting your body to workouts and regimen and all this kind of stuff, still doesn't mean you're connected with the Lord, right? I mean, you can be better at it, but we just need our spirit to be the one that's leading. It needs to be strong and built up and feeling great. And it's your spirit that helps you engage with God, like just when you come to worship. You know how you can feel? I mean, you know the times that you just didn't engage at all because you were, whatever, thinking about something else, you're in a bad mood, you're tired, and you just don't engage at all. But your spirit really, truly wants to engage. And we just need to intentionally, you know. Sometimes it's just like, I'm going to plug in. I don't feel like it, but I'm plugging in. I'm going to plug in and get what the Lord has for me today. So that's kind of setting up for what we're going to talk about. In Hebrews 5:14, I'm sorry, I don't have a slide for this, but Hebrews 5:14, maybe we could find that. This is a really cool scripture. I like it a lot. If somebody hands it and wants to read it, they can, or you can wait for my husband to get there. Yeah, Hebrews 5:14. Thank you. Okay. Where is it? Okay. It says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So, it says solid food is for the mature, and they're talking about Christians, believers, and they're talking about solid food as opposed to just like milk that you feed a baby. So because of practice, have their senses, and if you looked up senses and you looked up the Greek word for that, it's talking about their five senses. So touch, taste, feel, see, hear. So it's talking about their five senses. So because of practice, they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, what in the world? Good and evil, that's a spiritual concept, right? We're talking about something supernatural. And yet, it's saying that our five physical senses, when they are trained, can discern good and evil. Isn't that crazy? It's right here. It's in the Bible. I didn't make this up. I have not brought strange fire. So what they're saying is God has designed for us. We are supernatural beings. I mean, we have a body, but we're designed to be connected with the supernatural because God is supernatural, right? I mean, He is super beyond the natural. I mean, we are created in His image. He has given us a way to connect with Him in all five senses. I mean, He's given us spiritual eyes. I mean, we use our natural eyes, but they also become our spiritual eyes. I was talking to Wendy about her art. You know, people who do art, you know, being able to express things. I don't have an art gene, you know, so it's like I just admire people who can do art, but there are so many expressions that come through, that come from God, you know, as we express ourselves whenever. My art gene is in the colors that I wear. You know, I wear colors, so I paint myself. So, but it's, you know, we can start sensing what's around us by using our senses. Sometimes, I don't know if this has ever happened, but you might smell something, just a beautiful aroma, maybe during worship, and you go, has that happened to you before? And you go, where is this coming from? You know, and you're looking around for roses or something, or maybe it's somebody's perfume, and there's, you know, maybe there's nobody around. You go, what? Wow. You know, how is that possible? You know, or how can, you've heard somebody say, oh, I saw an angel. You know, how did they see that angel? You know, what are they talking about? Where did this come from? You know, maybe you're hearing something. You're hearing some sound that's beyond maybe what the worship team is doing or something. I just heard something so beautiful, you know? Or you're hearing us. I heard the Lord say. I mean, I didn't hear Him in a physical voice. Some people do sometimes, but somehow you just know that you're hearing His voice. I mean, how else are you going to have a conversation if I didn't hear Him talking with my spiritual ears? Okay, is this making sense? So Solomon, and in that famous dream where Solomon has just become king, he has the dream, and the Lord comes to him and says, you know, what do you want? And Solomon, we've all been taught, most of us were taught that Solomon asked for wisdom, but you know what he really asked? You know what the word was? Discernment. Discernment, and discernment means to be able to rightly discern good from evil, you know, to tell something that's good from evil. And that's one of the things that made him so wise, is because he could discern when people came to him with hard questions, you know, and maybe hard moral questions or, you know, problems, that he was able to see the good and the evil. Where's the dividing line on this, you know? What do I need to do? And he listened to God. He was able to hear from Him. You know, that's why he was wise, because it, you know, with God, there's just no gray areas, right? I mean, God doesn't go, I don't know, that's a tough one. There is a lot of gray areas in that. I'm just not sure what to do about that. You know, I mean, I used to think that way. It's just not hard for God, right? There is no gray area. He has the answer to absolutely everything. Now, do you get to go from point A to Z? You know, do you get to do this straight shot? Well, not usually. You know, His answer might be, okay, here's A to B, here's B to C, and then here's C to D, and you follow one step at a time, but He has the answer, and He can take you out of any mess you're in. He can get you there. It may take several years, whatever it is, but He has an answer, and it's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not gray. It's not shady. It's just clear. This is the way you go. You know, and this is the first step, and I don't know the next step, but I'll do the first step, and then so does this make sense? So, all this to say is that He has provided this most amazing way to speak to us. You know, that's why our spirits come to life when we worship, you know, it's because there's just something that's going on beyond the natural, and He wants us to be able to start experiencing things through our senses for more of who He is, because He designed us this way. And I know all of you have had experiences, whether it's music or looking at a scene or, or like we were saying, even a sense of smell or taste is more rare, but, you know, there is that experiencing Him through every one of our senses. He just starts to come alive. And I guarantee for some of you today, your senses are going to be turned on more than they have been for. You're just going to be aware wow, there was just more, I never noticed that before, right? You know, wow, this just seems brighter or whatever. Because we can. And I think one of the problems with the church in general today, and this is not this church, you know, it's just the church in general. We've kind of lost this because I think they tried to protect from the kooky people, you know, probably people like me, but, you know, they set up a protection for things that we didn't understand, you know, and we lost our ability just to be just these, you know, supernatural beings who connect with our living God, Father, the one who created us in His image. And so we just were never taught that it's okay to connect with Him in all these different ways, you know. I mean, and it really is exciting because how else are we going to have a relationship with Him if we don't, you know, if I can't see Him, you know, if I can't meet with Him, you know, like this, like a regular guy, if Jesus doesn't show up like this, how am I going to relate with Him? You have to believe something. You have to believe that He's outside of our natural box, right? Because we all are feeling His presence. We're all starting to come into the rest. We've all had experiences with Him, which means that we already are functioning at this level, but it's just like there's even more. We can believe for even more. So last night I said, He'll never, ever, ever, ever leave us or forsake us, ever. Means He's close and personal. He's very close and personal, and He wants that relationship. He's just so desiring to meet with us and for us to hear His voice, for us to experience all the parts of Him. You know, a God who created the whole universe and just made these most amazing things for us, for joy, to experience now. I mean, we get to have Him in heaven, but we get Him now, too, and that's like really cool for me because, you know, I'm liking my life more and more the more that I'm starting to experience everything around me. So the next part, when we're talking about the seeing part of our senses, almost, I mean, probably three-quarters of the time that you read the word see or saw, you know, I saw Him, or, you know, I see, you know, we sing the song, I see the Lord, you know, or open the eyes of my heart, different things where we're talking about seeing, they are scriptures that mean literally seeing. I mean, we tend to kind of like, well, it's out there. Well, I see the Lord riding on the clouds, but we don't actually think that we're supposed to see the Lord riding on the clouds. But these scriptures are like, I see the Lord. I see Him. Like, it means I saw with my eyes. And it might be your spiritual eyes, you know, like you're seeing, but you're seeing into the supernatural realm because we live in the supernatural realm. It's all around us. Okay? Is this making sense? I know you guys are like, oh, no, I don't know. She's going too fast. My brain is going left turn again. Okay, right now, everybody just take a big breath. That was heaven's air. Honestly, that's how close heaven is. We live in the supernatural realm. There are angels all around us. There's, you know, I mean, it's really cool. So, anyway, so all these scriptures are about seeing, meaning we can see. So, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. John 14:19, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. So, He said, before long, the world will not see me anymore. And He's talking about the people that did not believe who He was. But as believers, it says, but you will see me. What? Wow. It's in the Bible. I didn't make this up. Okay, Ephesians. Let's see. Now let's go to John 3:3. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Isaiah 30:20. Although the Lord has given you the bread of privation and the water of oppression, He, your teacher, that's capitalized, will no longer hide Himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. It's like all these scriptures, now that I'm starting to understand this, it's like, what? I didn't realize that, you know, I didn't realize that was there. I didn't realize what they were talking about. I want to know Jesus like this. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. But it says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not as what is the natural realm, but we're fixing our eyes on what we don't see except for in the supernatural. Isn't that cool? You can find all these. I mean, I just started referencing words for see, and I found all those, and that's what it means. So if you did a word study, most of those do mean to see literally with your eyes. Now, another thing, this is cool too, I think. Bible is really cool. You should read it sometime because, you know, there's neat stuff in there. When it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, oh, how's that go? Heart, mind, soul, what is it? Huh? Loud? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yeah, right? Okay, sorry, I just, you know, blank out sometimes. Okay, so when it says something like that. So when it says mind, love the Lord your God with all your mind, it's talking about your imagination. So if you broke it down and did a word study of that, it's going to break it down into a bunch of words, but basically it means your imagination. So most of us were raised like, you know, well, use your imagination. But don't use your imagination for that. You use too much of your imagination. That is just your imagination. You're making that up. You know? And so we're not sure. Don't trust your imagination. Our imagination is what God gives us as a vehicle for Him to speak to us and to give us pictures and visions and dreams and things out there because it's so powerful. Now, we have let our imaginations run wild our whole life. You know, we just don't get them under control and, you know, it makes it hard to enter the rest sometimes because they're like, hit, you know, hit out there, left turn somewhere. So we want to use our sanctified imaginations. So what does that mean? That means we're just going to give our imagination to God. You know, so all I'm going to do is just say, God, I want you to use my imagination for your use, not for mine. And when you give it to Him with intent, you know, you might just say, you know, forgive me for wrong thoughts, wrong intentions, clean it. You know, maybe just do that every time and say, but use my imagination. When you give Him that, now you're ready to start receiving. Because He'll get, and believe me, He will start, you're going to start getting more and more input because, again, we just never knew that we could believe this. It's in the Bible. That's the cool part. It's in the Bible. So He wants to be able to speak to us, but I'll tell you what I did. Once, it was right after Doug and I got back from YWAM when he told us we had to come back to the States and we're still sitting there just like devastated. We're like, well, what are we supposed to do? You know, it's like, what, do we have to get jobs now? So we were at a point where we're really feeling desperate because we didn't know what we were supposed to do. And so we went for a drive. Do you remember this? I didn't tell him we were going to show this. I was really desperate. He was probably resting. So we go for a drive and we go, let's just pray. So we park the car and we're just like, okay. We go through the whole thing of, we learn about doing intercession where you just clean your mind and you repent for anything and you, you know, basically like, okay, Lord, we want to hear from you, you know, and we're basically just saying, you know, what are we supposed to do? And right away, I hear the Lord say something. I don't even remember what it was. I hear Him say something. And my very first thing I thought was, that's just me. You know, because that's what I always thought. Well, that's just me. And I have never heard the Lord more clearly as I did on that day after I said, that's just me. He goes, you have got to stop doing that. He said, you asked me to speak to you. I spoke to you. And then you just say, that's just me. He goes, stop it. I was like, whoa. I really heard him. And he said, you, from now on, he said, I want you to believe it's me before you believe it's you. So believe that the first thing that you hear is going to be me. And he said, if it's not, I'll sort it out for you. But first believe that I spoke to you. And I tell you what, that has changed everything about my communication with God because I just didn't realize that I just really didn't expect Him to talk. So when He'd say something, I'd go, well, that's just me. Because it just did, I just didn't expect him to answer me. God, I want to hear from you, but don't really answer me. I mean, that's really what I was doing. See, do you remember that now? See, it happened to me, not him. And I'm like, oh, God said we have to believe him, you know, so it really changed. We just have to, I'm giving you guys all permission today, if you've never had it, that it's okay to hear from God in all kind of different ways, whether it's in his peace, knowing his presence is there, knowing he'll talk to you, he'll just set something in your mind or your heart, you just all of a sudden know something, you know, all of a sudden you go, I didn't know that before. How did that get there? Because he speaks in all different ways, right? I mean, so I just want to give you permission because he's a God who loves us and he wants to communicate with us, right? I mean, he wants to love on us. So if you were a parent, it would be really hard if you had a child that was deaf and dumb, right? Because you would be desperate to communicate with that child, right? You would do everything in your power to talk to that child. Right? And to communicate your love to this child. Well, that's how God is. He's trying to get us so we're not so deaf and dumb. You know, he's like, I just want to love you and I want to communicate with you and I want to hug you and I want you to know it's all okay and that I've always loved you and you can't do anything to step outside my love because I just will never stop loving you. Ever. Okay, does this make sense? Okay, so he uses our imagination, so it's okay, that's safe. Give it over to God all the time and it's safe. Let him use that. And it takes practice. I mean, it just takes practice at getting better at, okay, was that me? Is that him? But trust that he'll sort that out for you, and you just get better at knowing the senses, knowing when he's talking, when he's not. Honestly, he's very good, and he'll show up and tell you that it's okay. So we're going to practice. Y'all good? We're going to practice this. All right, so here's what I want you to do first. Let's just enter into the rest. So we're just going to get in that quiet zone for just a minute, and I want you to just kind of enter in, you and Jesus, and I just want you to tell him, like, boy, this is really scary. Boy, I don't know. I need to look this up. That's fine. It's fine. I'm not asking you to buy into anything today that makes you feel uncomfortable. You know, I want you to go look it up in the Bible. Ask your pastor. Do something if it's uncomfortable. But just get with Jesus because he's always safe. That's the only thing you get with Jesus. If you need to say, God, clean my imagination off right now, and I just want to be able to hear from you. So just get in the rest and don't try to go anywhere far. But if you feel like you need to just repent of anything or ask him to clean something, just do that. So just do that right now. Okay, so now, and if it was hard for you to enter into that quiet place, don't worry about that either. We don't have worries. We all come along in a different way. It's like a child learning to walk. You know, there's some kids that are like, you know, super excelled, and they, you know, start walking, and they're like 2 days old, you know, and then there's other kids that are like 2 years old, and they still haven't, you know, got out of the crib. Don't worry about it. We're all going to do this at a different pace because it's just who we are, okay? And so, right now, I just want you to ask the Lord in your head for a memory of when you were just really connected with him. You know, like maybe you were having a time worshiping and you just knew God was there and it was so good. Or maybe you were driving and you saw this rainbow and you go, oh, I just know he planned that just for me. Maybe it was just some event when you were 5 years old and it was a real happy event with your family and you just felt God in it. So it could have been yesterday, it could have been when you were really little. Just ask the Lord to bring you a memory when it was just really a positive memory. Maybe you were with the Lord, maybe it was just a happy memory, okay? So just everybody do that. Just, it won't take very long because he'll bring you something. And if you're getting like a flood of memories, just pick one. Or just say, Lord, which one should I focus on? And when you have a memory, just open your eyes and look at me. So, and if you're still working on it, you can keep your eyes closed, but just look at me so I know where we are. I don't want to interrupt you, but I want to know if you've got the memory yet. If you don't have to do anything special, just if you have a memory. If you have trouble, like going, I just can't think of anything, that's okay too. I want you to then just think of a time that you knew you were really happy. It was a happy occasion. Maybe it was, you know, the birth of a child or something really good in your life happened, or it was, you know, really wonderful Christmas or something like that. Okay, so if you just settle on a memory, don't stress over this. It's not like we're not going to write it down or anything. We're just practicing, right? No worries. We're just practicing. Okay, so did you get a memory?
Yeah.
Okay, just share us with, just tell us what the memory is.
Yeah, I just had a memory of I don't know where in church, but I was in church worshiping, and it was good. I mean, it was a good word. I just felt Jesus' presence at that time.
So it was just basic. Just a basic memory, you know, that came to his mind of a time that he was worshiping and he really felt connected with the Lord. Okay? Does that make sense? Does anybody have questions about just what kind of memory we're doing? It doesn't have to be that. It can just be, I had somebody the other day share that they said, oh, it was the first time that I'd ever gone to a beach at the ocean. And, you know, where we live, you know, we don't have too much ocean. And it was just, she was with her whole family, and it was just a wonderful memory for her. She just remembered just feeling so blessed that she got to be at the ocean. So they weren't worshiping or anything. She was just at the beach, at the ocean. Okay, any questions so far? I know you guys are all real shy, so you're not going to tell me anyway. So I have to, like, read your faces and something. Okay, would you throw something at them if they're just, like, not participating? Okay. So now, and this is the crazy part, but it's really fun. I want you, with your eyes open or closed, it doesn't matter. I close my eyes because I am so distractible that, you know, I'll be, you know, 400 miles from here in like 2 seconds. So I just close my eyes so I can concentrate. But a lot of people do it with their eyes open. I want you to look around in that memory that you're having. Like Doug's going to look around at that when he was worshiping and felt really, and I want you to look for Jesus. Just look for Jesus, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. I'm thinking he was probably hanging out kind of close. Just look for Jesus in your memory. See if you can find him. And you can use your senses. I mean, maybe you're not going to see him in that memory with your eyes, or maybe you're just going to sense that he's nearby, or is he in front of you, in back of you, above you? Where do you think he is if you're looking for him? Okay, so you can keep looking for him while I talk. I'm just going to give you some encouragement here. This is brand new for probably most of you. Some of you are going to find that you have actually seen him before or experienced him, but because you said, well, it's just my imagination that I was seeing him, but it really helped you that you used, but I'm telling you that you really were already using your imagination and your senses, and you were experiencing him in ways already. So this is new, and what we do is we just practice because it just gets better. And I've been practicing for a long time. So I'll tell you what I had. I had a memory. He brought to me a memory that happened just a couple of years ago probably. And I was standing up teaching this, and so everybody was finding Jesus. So I'm like, oh, yeah, where are you, Jesus? You know, and I knew it was funny. So I'm teaching, but I knew he was like right here. And he was teaching, but it was my lips that were moving. You know, I mean, I was like, oh, look at that, he's teaching. You know, it was really him teaching, using me to actually make the sound. You know what I mean? It was like, that's so cool. You know, because he was actually there. Because a lot of times it's like, well, you know, God, give me the strength, give me the words. I mean, we do pray that, but it was kind of like, wow. You know, and he is the Word. Brings a whole new meaning to that. But it was such an encouragement to me, like, wow, he really is. I'm not just praying and then doing it on my own. He is actually here doing this. You know, you see what I mean? So did you find him in your memory?
Yeah, again, it was worshiping, and I did feel his presence, and I don't know exactly where he was, but I knew he was there. I just had a sense. I didn't, you know, see him, but I just sensed he was there.
Okay. And they have a comment. I would love for somebody to say something because it's really encouraging to other people because we do it. We've been practicing for quite a while. So, you know, you might go, I don't know. Some people might see him real easily or experience him. Maybe you go, I just know he was right there. That one lady who had the memory of going to the beach, she said, when she thought about trying to find him, she said, oh, I don't know, this sounds crazy. I think he's sitting on the beach next to me. I'm like, well, why'd that be crazy? He likes to hang out with us. I mean, he went with the disciples and went through the grain fields and we're picking the grain off the heads. And, you know, I mean, so, I mean, to me, nothing's too crazy for me, you know. We have a comment over here. I love it.
I just want to share the brief experience I had. Actually, there's quite a few during the time I was going through divorce. One particular time was we found the guns at home, and then, you know, I have a advisor, lawyer, basically said you should just ask him or take it, put it away, and then I think you should be very, very careful. But at the same time, and I hear just different voices, they just don't do anything. Just don't do anything. You'll be okay.
What did you do?
Yeah, she didn't do anything because she felt at peace by that. She knew, and it probably didn't make much sense, you know, because she's getting advice through something else. But she, yeah, so she knew. She knew she knew. Anybody else want to say anything or have a question? Thank you guys for being brave.
Well, when I was a seeker of God, and I was driving down in the Bay Area to work from San Francisco, and I notice there's a church up in the hill, and I see that as the guidance and sign. Oh, I kept it in my heart. When you ask me, where's Jesus, and I always see the cross up there. So, he wasn't that near, but he's up the hill.
But yeah, you see, where's Jesus, and that's what he reminds you of, you know? I mean, because he wants us to be able to connect, and he'll go as slowly as we want or as fast. He knows us personally. I mean, you hear people have these radical experiences, but, you know, maybe that's not how he's going to approach you. You know, maybe he's going to kind of ease you into it, you know, so he doesn't scare you out of your skin like, oh, Jesus is right here. You know? Okay, so that's just like the first part of just getting familiar, because it seems like it's really safe to find him in a memory. Finding him up close and personal sometimes can feel really intimidating, because it's like, I don't know, he sees every part of me now, and he knows like where I'm, you know, not participating, or, you know, where I'm not engaging with him, or where I'm just out and out sinning. You know, he knows that. I don't know if I want him that close. Even if he sees it all anyway, but just knowing that now he's like really close. So what I would like you to do, even if you were just trying to experience his presence, like Doug was saying, didn't know exactly where he was, but he just knew that he was feeling his presence. So what I want you to do right now is just barely out loud, because we just want to be respectful of others, but it's important to do it out loud, because words, things that we speak out loud have very great amount of power. We create with the words that we speak. There's vibrations on our words that have an effect on the rest of the universe. I mean, it's crazy, but when we speak it out loud, it also confirms it in our brain and our body. So that's why it's really important not to say, well, I'm sick. Well, I have this. I have that. Well, that's like proclaiming to your body, and your body is very obedient. It will obey the words that you speak. So that's just a little thing I throw in there. So right now, just out loud, quietly, we're just going to appreciate Jesus, you know, in that place. You know, I'm just going to say, wow, Jesus, that was really cool that you were standing next to me. You were actually teaching. I wasn't up here by myself that time. You were actually teaching and giving me words, and you were, you know, right there with me, and I felt so good to know that you were there. Thanks, Jesus, for hanging out with me. So that's just appreciation, you know, who he was, that his character for that time, or that, you know, how would you appreciate Jesus for yours?
I would just thank him for just being there, and I would just tell him I guess I love him, and I just appreciate the things he's done in my life, and yeah.
Yeah, so what we want to get good at is, you know, number one, it's always good to be thankful and have a thankful heart, but you know, it's really good to appreciate him and for his character, you know, like who he is, because we can get really wrapped up in the thanking, but that's kind of like thanking a God who's kind of far out, you know, and like, I really need to be really bowed down low, and there's times for that, but there's other times he just wants us to, like, as if I want to say to my husband, gosh, Doug, I really appreciate that you backed me up. I appreciate so much that you went to the grocery store last night and bought, you know, the stuff so I didn't have to go because I was really tired. I appreciate you just have been such a good mood, and you offered to cook, and I just appreciate who you are. I mean, that means a lot more than, hey, thanks for going to the store. Right? Appreciation. Okay, so now here's, I love science that proves God. So we have these things in our brain. I think they're called receptors. There might be a more official name. But what we appreciate opens the receptors so that we can receive from that which we have just appreciated. So if we appreciate Jesus, these receptors open, and then now Jesus, we are more open to receive from him in some way. She's nodding her head. You know that. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so now just take a minute or two. Just sort of whisper it, but we're going to do it out loud because it's important. We're going to really get our heart engaged too. Just appreciate Jesus for that memory. Even if you couldn't find him, just appreciate it because hopefully you believe that he was there. Good. All right. Next step. You ready? Just more practicing. It's all good. It's all good. Don't get stressed out. I'm the kind, I always laugh because me, of all people teaching this, because I mean, from the first time that somebody taught me, I just got immediately stressed out because it's like, I gotta be able to find Jesus. Oh, I gotta be able to. They're gonna go on and they're gonna leave me behind. And then, or somebody's gonna call on me and I'm not gonna have a memory and I don't know what I'm gonna do. And what if it's, I'm not supposed to lead? Oh, you know, and I'm just like, so, I was like, so stressed out. I mean, it was just really funny. And so I didn't want to do this for a long time because it stressed me out so bad. I was just so stressed out about it. So it was like, I can't do this because I get too stressed. But, so it took me a while. And somebody was helping to coach me along and keep me in. Jesus was really good and patient. So if I can do this, I am telling you that anybody can do this because it just, because now it actually, you can get there. So I just say no worries. Whatever you're willing to practice is good just because Jesus just wants to get closer. Okay. So now eyes open or closed. It doesn't matter. Whatever works for you. I just want you to look around here, and just see if you can find his presence. Through one of your senses, or just for like, I don't know, I just keep feeling like, maybe he's behind me, you know, or maybe he's Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, they're all the same, but they're all three different, right? And they're omnipresent, which means they can be everywhere at the same time. So he'll be with you at the same time as he'll be with me, he'll be with Doug, he'll be with Diego, right? Because he's Jesus, he can. So just look around and see where you're experiencing him, and it might be different. Where I find Jesus might be different than where Doug finds him or with somebody else. So just see what it feels like to you. Just practice using your senses, like what am I experiencing right now? What does it feel like? okay, how's everybody doing? Anybody want to make a comment or tell us where you feel it? No answer is wrong. Because number one, I couldn't tell you that you're wrong. Number two, if you say, well, I think, you know, like if I'm like over here and I go, well, I don't know. I just think Jesus is sitting in this chair. Here's what I think about Jesus. He loves us so much, he will run from wherever he was to sit in this chair so you won't be wrong because he wants us to find him. Does that make sense? He's just cool. So there is no wrong answer, I don't think. We're just practicing, you know? So where do you think? We have to let our imagination start to work. Otherwise, we're just going to go, that was just me. You're going to be like me. Well, that was just me. I couldn't find him. I don't know. I don't think, you know. Don't be me. I kept cutting him off. Just practice. Practice. So anybody feel like they kind of had a sense of where he was for you? Did you?
Well, I was trying to find where is he with my physical eyes or mind or sense. I look around, I really couldn't find him. Then I do have a worse thinking. Could that be inside of me? And I don't know. Or it might be just me. Like what you're saying. Yeah, that's my thoughts.
Believe that it was him.
Yeah, that's the rule. You have to believe it was him before you believe it was you.
So it was interesting because in the beginning I had, you know, I was looking around and, okay, is it on the cross, on the, you know, here, outside? And I was thinking, oh, maybe it's outside. But then after I let all those thoughts go, those conscious thoughts go, I felt, you know, I sort of just let my mind go blank and I felt he was like right over my head.
How did that feel?
It was very, very interesting, very peaceful.
Peaceful.
Isn't that cool? And it's, yeah, and see, I don't know why, you know, we've gotten away from teaching this in the church, but it's like he just wants to be close. He wants us to know we're there. But if nobody's talking about it, then it's like me having that, the testimony where God drops me out of his hand. Who am I going to tell? I don't even know what language to use. I don't even know, somebody's going to think I'm crazy, you know, but are they just like, what? You're on drugs. But yeah, I mean, I just couldn't tell anybody. But the exciting part is he just wants to be known. I mean, he truly wants to be known. Somebody else, did you have kind of a sense or what you were thinking that he was doing something? See, I'm moving over this side of the room.
Two over there. Oh, good.
Maybe not always in this. I think I feel the presence of God in church when we're assembling, we're thinking about him all together. But oftentimes I do, maybe in the last couple of years, I always feel like when I'm thinking about him, and it's the oddest place, it's the first thing in the morning when I'm in the shower, there's a lot of time to think about things, and I think of Jesus then. And also in my drive to work, it just seems to be, you know, it's a constant in, I wish I could admit it's daily, but you know, oftentimes when I am praying, it's listening to good worship music in the car and also at church.
Yeah, good, good.
We have one guy that at our church, and he's really funny because sometimes he'll tell the pastor, he said, oh, I really think the Lord spoke to me this morning. And almost every time it's like, I was in the shower. Yeah, that's a good place for him and the Lord to communicate when he's taking his shower in the morning. Okay, somebody else. On this side? Safe? Dangerous? Well, stand up here like me. I mean, I have to. No. So was it scary trying to, like, find his presence so near? Does that feel scary at all? No? Okay? Feel okay? Were you able to sort of maybe sense where he might be? Well, you had it. You kind of look away when they're looking in your direction or they call on you.
All right, so I can see Jesus is right here in the middle and we're just, you know,
facing him together. It's like a magnet. You just, you want to be close or you want to be attached to him. Mood, huh? I can see it's blue. That's all I can say. I can say the color, but I don't know the mood of it. Yes. Oh yeah. Yes. Yes.
Good. Awesome.
See how cool that is? And she has a sense it's blue. Now, is that not that neat? Colors mean something. You know that there's numbers in the Bible. They all mean stuff. Colors all mean stuff. They all have meanings for different things. And he speaks to us in all those things. Thank you. See? You guys are holding out on me. You make me do all this work myself. I feel like I'm a stand-up comedian dying. You know? No, so this is awesome. And so Jesus is standing here drawing people to him like a magnet. What an example. You know, I wouldn't have thought of that. And so usually these, you know, he said to one of my friends once, he said, because she goes, oh, I don't know, I think I'm making that. He goes, your imagination is not that good. And there's times that he says stuff to me, and it's like, oh my gosh. You know what? If I really wanted to look good, I would not say what he just told me. You know, I mean, because you go, oh, I feel so foolish. You know, you'd make up something that really make you look good, right? I mean, so that's when you know it's Jesus, when it surprises you. But that's really awesome picture. And you can just be asking him, gee, what's the blue about? You know, blue is a heavenly color, royalty, means Holy Spirit, a lot of things blue is. Okay, good. Anybody else? Where did you see Jesus, or where do you think his presence was, or what were you experiencing using your senses? Were you able to connect in some way? These are such good examples you guys have. Charles, are you holding out on me? I know, I'm ruthless, right? Did you, were you able to kind of experience him?
I guess I'm very new, so I started learning that in the night before I sleep, I used to have some lights on, and now I turn it off, and so I try to learn from that book, Pursuit of God, and just be quiet, and that's when we attend David, he said, you know, we should talk to him like he's our real father. My father passed away, so I don't have a father now. So I start to talk. And of course, I mean, it's not in this world, this photonic vibration kind of a talk. So in my mind, and I don't know if he will listen to me, but I said what I got to say, and I do the Lord's Prayer, and I go sleep. And sometimes I entrust my anxiety or whatever, but next day when I woke up, I would, you know, it's a bad habit. You go to your smartphone and open up, I join this circle of prayer and say, if, for example, if last night I was so angry with someone, I was starting gun, and the next day he says, oh, you know, don't do that, and I was worrying something, would show up, say, trusting God. I guess I was sharing that through the Facebook. And I don't know if that's, I just feel that somebody's watching me. And, I don't have this, I don't see yet. But, since last night when you taught us this rest, I feel like, you know, kind of, putting it somewhere, which I don't know how to describe it, it's not, the heart is not cold, it's just like peace. And a little bit scary. I think he's watching.
A little bit scary, he's watching.
But he feels the peace. I mean, he feels the peace. So when we start finding his presence, this is the really cool part, is that you will feel that peace and that comfort. So even though it's a little bit like, I don't know, he's pretty close. That's a little bit intimidating at first. But to know that he's like that magnet that draws you. I mean, you just want to go there. You want to be there. It feels really, really good. And Jesus, I got to tell you, he is always, always happy to see us. Always. Because he loves us.
If you start feeling like, you know, like, oh, I don't know, I don't think he wants to be with me, that's probably the enemy telling you those lies, or your head, you know, my imagination, like what I believed, he only loves me because he has to, you know. I don't want to hang out with that Karen, you know, she, you know. That, I mean, because I believe that for a long time, but it's not true. He's really longing to spend time with me because he loves me. Okay, so we're going to do one last thing. All right, you ready? Don't worry about it if you're still back at step one. That's all right. Just sort of starting, you know, and you start everywhere. And Charles is like going, well, I'm just a beginner because I'm new at this. Actually, the new people do better than those of us who are older because we've had too much time to build so much religion and objections into our head. It's like we have to get all those out of there first. And kids are really good. They're just like, oh, okay, you know. Are we supposed to find Jesus? Okay, let's find Jesus. So it's easier for them. We have to work through all these objections that we have, and, you know, we have to get rational, and, you know, but really you don't. You just want to get rid of the rational stuff and go, okay, I'm just not going to pay attention. I mean, I love the way you worded it about just once you got rid of your thoughts, you know, is he there, is he there, is he there, and just sort of settle. That's why it's so good to come into the rest and just sort of settle there and go, okay, really, what am I experiencing? What do I sense anything? Do I see anything? Am I seeing some blue? Or am I, gee, I'm feeling this a lot of peace right now. That wasn't there before. Or whatever. We just want to just pay attention to everything. Okay, so now, in that place of where you were finding his presence with you, like we've just been talking about, I want you, in that place, I want you to say to the Lord, to say, is there anything you want to show me or tell me today? We're just going to give him permission to talk because, you know, I mean, he is the creator of us and the universe, so I guess we should probably tell him it's okay that we'd be willing to listen to him. But just ask him, just say, hey, is there anything you want to show me or tell me? And then just wait. Now, it's okay if he doesn't say anything, or that he might give you a picture, he might just show his peace, you might just feel like, wow, he really is close. He might say something to you. That's really cool. So just wait for a minute. See if he says anything. Yeah, it won't be condemning. If he says, you should read your Bible more, that was not Jesus. Okay, that was the enemy for sure. Yeah. Okay, how's everybody doing? I see some smiles. I see some people with that deer in the headlight look like, oh my gosh, that was Jesus. Anybody want to share anything? Something you experienced, something you heard, something you saw. It encourages everybody else when you do that. If you don't share, you have to hear my crazy stories. And it's like, yeah, David will tell you, it's like they're too crazy, some of them. Anybody want to share some?
Yes.
I think that Jesus reminded me that I shall go back to the original character. He created me more carefree kind of person. But since I was working and my job requirement made me very want to be in control, so a lot of stress. So it seems like remind me that it's not what I create you about.
Now, did that feel condemning or?
Go back to saying, you know, don't worry too much, just enjoy life.
You know, I mean, Jesus wants us to be free. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, so if you get something that sounds condemning at all, you know, the enemy of our soul wants to bring us that kind of stuff and make you feel beat up. Like, you better pray more, you better read your Bible more, you better do this, you better do that. So if it feels that way, that's not Jesus. That's, you know, sometimes our own thoughts because we want to put those in there, or it's just the enemy telling us lies. But he feels, so that's your test, you know. How do you feel about that? So the difference between condemnation, which is like that pounding guilt that doesn't go away, or conviction, which that's from the Lord. It's the kiss and the slap. It's like immediately you know you did something wrong, but immediately you want to correct it. You know what you're supposed to do, and you already know that you're loved and it's okay, you know. And he's like, gosh, can you do that? Can you go back to the carefree life a little more? Very difficult. It's true. It's true because of what we've done. I know. Believe me, I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Somebody else. Don't be shy. You don't get to have lunch if you don't share.
I mean, I'm embarrassed to even say it. It's as simple as could be. He just said he loved me.
Hey, there's nothing better than hearing it from the Lord. I mean, really, truly, this is why it's important, because we start coming in more close relationship with Him. And I could say to Doug, well, the Lord loves you, but how much better if He's like, wow, Jesus, I just heard Jesus say He loved me. That sticks with Him, you know? That's really cool. Yeah.
So I was looking for, I've been praying for some answers. So I say, okay, is this the opportunity to get those answers? But what I heard was, it's okay to just enjoy the moment right now as is, with nothing to worry about.
Very good. He's very clever that way. You know, I'll ask him things, and then it's like, oh, he answers are so wonderful, and then I go, oh, wait, I really didn't get an answer to that question. But I feel so affirmed, and I feel so peaceful, so, but, you know, but that's what he does, you know. It's like, he'll give you the answer when it's time, and it's okay just to be there and learn to wait with him, because he's got the right timing, so. Good. Thank you.
So the one thing I felt he was saying was, this is my church, these are my people.
Yeah, what was that?
Part of that is a burden lifted off because of things that we try to do for him. And he's saying, hey, you know, I'll take care of that.
Yeah, which is really goes along with that rest, that we don't need to try to do everything, you know. It's like, he's kind of like, yeah, hey, my church, my people. That's good. Only Jesus would come up with these things, you know. Yeah, that's awesome. Good. Somebody else.
This morning, when I drove over here, I prayed about it, and I believe, you know, this is this is like sort of like a calling to me that, you know, kind of reminder. It should be, it will be a good start for me to go back to the committed Bible study again, because I've been praying for this week for this event, and last night is just a couple of people invited me again and again and again, and last night I decided to go to their Bible study on Saturday morning. So I don't feel this is like kind of condemned to me, but it's a very good reminder. And attending this section reminds me years ago that how I should feel about God, how I should feel about Jesus, the warmth, everything. And I haven't got a chance to share the experience that you see God. It's like that time I had an operation. I have a tumor right behind the ear, big one. And my friends, they sent me pictures with horrible, like, bloody scenes and stuff like that. And the operation, the doctor has to cut open from the from here all the way to the back and flip open to cut the tumor out. And during this procedure, it could, if he's careful enough, you know, cut my nerves and stuff like that, then my mouth will be in the other position. So, you know, I was young, I wasn't married, and of course I care about my face. So it's really, really scary. And after the operation, I wasn't that awake yet, but a lot of these kind of worries came to me. But then I was in this hospital and there's no window there. But I see some light shine through, and I know some figure presence there, and I think that is God, and it's very comforting, and I know that I'll be fine. So yes, it turns out, yeah, great smile again. Thank you.
Thank you. Now that's cool. Good, good. Thank you so much for sharing that. Anybody else?
Gosh, we need to go like another hour. Everybody's getting ready.
I just got one sentence. Rejoice in the Lord.
Rejoice in the Lord.
Ah, simple, but it's so much truth. And you felt that, didn't you? I mean, you knew that you knew. It was like, wow, that was the Lord. Yeah. Cool. Okay, I will tell you a crazy story. So I was teaching this class at my church because, you know, we all have the same, you know, objections. So we're trying to find Jesus, like, in this classroom. And so one man just said, I can't find Jesus. I just won't be able to see him. I can't find him. And basically he was almost done. I mean, he was like, we're not finding Jesus. And then there was another man who goes, well, I can't find him either. I've just not seen anything. I don't experience, I'm not sensing, I don't have any kind of whatever. And I just was trying to encourage everybody, that's okay, just, you know, just be open, whatever. So finally, the one man, the second man, he felt like the Lord, before this, he felt like the Lord had really been just wanting him to start being more obedient to, like, promptings or something, or just being obedient. You know, he just felt like he needed to work on obedience. So this man said, oh, well, I wasn't experiencing Jesus or finding him or anything, but because I'm supposed to be obedient, and you could tell he's just does not want to share this. He said, well, what I saw was a picture of the Last Supper. You know, that picture with Jesus and his disciples at the long table. He goes, I saw a picture of the Last Supper. And of course, he's embarrassed, like, he has to share this because it's like, you know. And he said, well, it was like over there. And he said, so he points at the first man who said he couldn't find Jesus at all. And he said, so it was sort of like across there, you know. So like he said, you're like, he said, so like Jesus would be like right next to you. So what's your name? What is it? Payshon? Okay, so he'd be like Jesus right next to Payshon, you know. He goes, that's where the painting, I see the painting like this. It's, you know, Jesus is over there next to you. That's what he's saying to this guy.
And so I'm thinking, oh, okay, like how are you? But Jesus can do anything. So I'm always like, okay. And I said, I thought, right. And so the man who was sitting where Peshon was sitting, he goes, oh, ha, 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 that means that I'd be like the beloved John, the disciple, leaning on his chest, ha, ha, ha. He laughs like that. So then, the next thing we do, I go, okay, let's just see if Jesus wants to say anything to us. And so, here's this man who hasn't found Jesus, doesn't think he can find Jesus. Somebody else says he sees the Last Supper, and Jesus is, you know, in the painting next to him. Soon as this man asks if there was anything, you know, he's like, well, you know, Jesus, wherever you might be, do you want to say anything? He hears Jesus, who is sitting where he was in the painting, in the chair next to him, say, I have been waiting 60 years to tell you that you are my beloved son. I mean, his eyes were like this big. I mean, he's just like, because he had just never really been able to connect with Jesus ever. He connected really well with the Father, but just he just couldn't connect with Jesus. And here Jesus tells him. So Jesus uses this crazy set of events, one man trying to walk out obedience, expressing a kind of out of embarrassment that all he can see is the Last Supper painting, and then this guy knows that he's sitting in John the Beloved's seat, and hears Jesus say, you are my beloved. I mean, isn't that the coolest thing ever? I mean, that changed this man. He was really kind of knows his Bible backwards and forward, but he's kind of like a Pharisee, so he was very harsh and kind of judgmental and critical because he just didn't have that really good guy, but he just didn't have that close relationship with Jesus. He didn't know how to do that, so he only knew the law, you know what I mean? And now, oh my gosh, he's just like, now he's found Jesus, you know what I mean? He's truly found Jesus as like his friend and his brother, and it's just, he's transformed man. It's really funny. So, it's been good. Okay, so anybody else want to share? Jesus say anything? Show you any pictures? He told me, what I saw when I asked that, is that he said to all of you, I mean, I just heard him, he said, well done, my children. And he's just so pleased that you tried. And I saw it was like a door, and it was cracked open, and there's all this light coming in through the crack. And so it's like Jesus is saying, you know, you've opened a door, and now my presence is going to start to be able to come in a bigger and bigger way for each one of you, wherever you are with the Lord. You know, open the door and just, you know, let the line of Judah come in and, you know, have rain, and it's fun. I mean, all I can tell you is it's an adventure, and it just gets better and better and better, you know. So let's just close in prayer, and let's see. I'll have Doug do that, I think, because I've... Oh, did you... Yeah, do you want to... Yeah, okay. We'll close. Yeah. No, okay. Jesus, we adore you. Hallelujah. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this... 2 days. Thank you for this morning. Lord, just thank you again for just what you're going to do, what you have done. Lord, just thank you for just this wonderful church. Thank you for just these wonderful people, Lord, that have just loved you. And Lord, just bless them. Bless us, Jesus, for thank you, Jesus, for your blessings. And Lord, just thank you again for everything you've done for us. Amen.
Okay, and I forgot to pass these out. This is called Three Things to Get from the Manual. You remember what a manual means? God with us, yes. He can always be found, and he wants to be found. He's always happy to see us, and he always says yes to everything. It's just a really good reminder that he loves us, and he's not condemning, and all that good stuff.
All right, thank you very much. So we're officially done. We just want to encourage you guys to just hang out with Karen and Doug if you guys want to. We have lunch prepared in our what used to be our library, which is going to be our new worship room. If you don't know where it is, please come and talk to me if you guys go over there. We are one thing that I heard right away when I came to our church is that we have amazing cooks, and we really do. But today, you know, we really wanted to have everyone just have a break and relax. And so we just have sandwiches, so please excuse us. But enjoy the fellowship. And feel free to come and talk to me. Feel free to come and talk to Karen and Doug. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and we thank you for having us. Thank you for having us. Thank you for coming out on our Friday.